Today we're going to look at, is true happiness possible in this world? Now we know the Lord has given us richly all things to enjoy, but today we're going to study a man, Solomon, who decided he was going to enjoy all those things without a reference to God. And you wonder about that because Solomon actually saw the Lord twice, face to face. And what we're reading here today, he's saying, I'm going to enjoy all that God has given me without reference to God. And we're going to see how it works. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, if you'll stand, we'll honor God as we read His Word. Ecclesiastes is a hard book to understand unless you understand that Solomon is trying to enjoy the things without the giver of the thing. He says, the words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain all their labors at which they toil under this sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets, and it hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All the streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear is full of hearing. What has been will be again. What's been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It's been here before our time. No one remembers the former generation. And even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that's done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, look, I've increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Father, as we study your word, help us to realize where Solomon fell short. As one under the S-U-N, instead of one under the S-O-N. Father, give us the wisdom we need to live not only a godly life, but a happy life. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In just a couple of months, all across our nation, young people are going to be graduating high school. In our particular church, we've got one young lady that's going to be graduating, Carly, and we're happy for that. But I want to tell you, when young people graduate and they look down the road at the future, many of them take different routes. One's going to be a doctor, one's going to be a lawyer, one's going to be a farmer, one's going to be a mechanic, whatever. But some of them want to get married right away, some of them want to wait a while before they get married. But what's the end of each person's desire? The end is we want to live a happy life. More than anything, whether I was a carpenter or a lawyer or a doctor or whatever it could be, we want to be happy. And Solomon was just such a man. Solomon wanted to live a happy life. Nobody wants to go through life unhappy. When we were children, we would listen to fairy tales. And in most of those fairy tales, after something happened, What was the statement? And they lived happily ever after. Folks, that's what we desire in this life. When we get married, eventually, we want to have a happy marriage. Having a happy marriage is a wonderful thing, and I got to tell you that dads are most responsible in their homes to bring that happiness to their families. Dads set the program for the family. Now, some dads are not very happy people, and so they have to look to their wife, who maybe is more happy, and they have to use her to bring the happiness of the home. But I want to encourage you, fellas, if you do get married and you do have children, you need to make sure your home is a happy home for those kids to live in. Our preamble to our Constitution says that it guarantees the pursuit of happiness. You know, many countries don't allow their people to be happy. You have to be serious. You got to toe the line. You can't be happy because that's an emotion they don't want to see. Folks, in our country, we encourage happiness. And I'm glad we do. Single people, many of them are unhappy because they want what? They want to be married. But many married people are unhappy because why? Because they don't want to be married anymore. They've had enough of that. You know, marriage is like a window pane. On the inside of the window pane, there are flies sitting wanting to get out. And on the outside of that same window pane, there are flies trying to get in. Folks, marriage alone is not the answer. It's a wonderful thing that God has created. But marriage without the Lord involved in the situation is not going to make you happy. And that's what Solomon is facing here. He's trying to get God out of the equation of life. He wants to be happy, but he's looking in all the wrong places. You know, there's an old song that used to be when I was a teenager, and it said, looking for love in what? All the wrong places. We can do exactly the same thing. We can look for happiness in all the wrong places. Happiness is not found in the things God has created. Happiness is found in the Lord who created all things for our pleasure. Solomon gets a few things wrong here. There was a, Pat O'Brien was his name, and he was a broadcaster who knew a lot of celebrities that were very popular across the United States, celebrities that had literally millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of followers who just almost worshiped them. But he said out of all the celebrities he knew, there were only about 10 of them that were really happy. And we wonder, if you've got millions of dollars and you've got fame, and you're a good-looking person, you're healthy and strong, why wouldn't you be happy? Because things can't make you happy without a reverence for the Lord that gave you those things. And we're going to look at it very clearly because we're in a series called The Big Questions of Life. You know, life has a lot of questions. Kids start asking questions very young, and dads and moms have to be ready with the answer. And if you know the Lord, you've got most of those answers given to you in the Word of God. And so we are, of all people, most blessed because we do have answers. Why am I here? You're here because God wants you here. You're here as a creation of God for His glory. What am I supposed to do while I'm here? Son or daughter, you're supposed to learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ and share that love with others. What happens after this life? Son or daughter, depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. If you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to go to heaven. You're going to spend eternity in pleasure and wonderful joy. But if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire, a place of torment, a place of need, and the needs will never be met. That gives that young child quite a thing to think about as he grows. So when we look at these things today, we're looking at, can a person in this lifetime really be happy? Now, I'm not talking about happy all the time. No matter if your wife just died, you're still happy, happy, happy. No, life can be hard. But most of the time, can we be content with life? Can we rejoice in life? Can we give thanks in every situation? Because that's what the Bible commands. Everything that happens in life, we are to give thanks. It doesn't mean we give thanks for the terrible thing, but we give thanks that the Lord is in control over all those things. King Solomon, we would call him an unhappy camper. King Solomon had literally all that there was to have in this world. But King Solomon went through his life a bitter, bitter man. You know, when we look at Solomon's book, he was the king of Israel in the 10th century BC. That means 1,000 years before Christ was on this earth. Solomon was the king. And Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes is a book of a man under the S-U-N. I believe it's 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes that saying is written there. A man under the sun, S-U-N. And he says, no matter what I tried, I never found happiness. Folks, we're going to look at six different things that Solomon looked at in this world to try to be happy. They're the same six things that most people today, you got people that play the lottery. Why do they play the lottery? Man, if I could get $100 million, and the lotteries now are like a billion sometimes. If I could win $100 million, man, I'd be happy. We're going to look at that today and see if that's true. But there's so many things that we look at and say, if I could just have that thing, that would bring me happiness. Solomon had all those things. He was probably the richest man that ever lived. He had gold by the tons. Every year they brought 600 tons of gold to Solomon. It says in Ecclesiastes 1:1, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And a lot of people, when they read that, say, that shouldn't be there. Why? Solomon believed in God. Solomon saw God. Solomon built the temple. But Solomon, as he writes this book, is writing it as a man under the S-U-N. He wants God out of the equation. He wants to find out the things in this life. What can make me happy? And so we're going to look at those six different things today. But Solomon gives us an executive summary, and it's found in Ecclesiastes 1:12. It says, I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and explore by wisdom all that's done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. Folks, what a sad thing. I don't know how you view God, but do you view God as the giver of all life and the giver of every blessing in life? Or do you view God as a hard creator? Folks, how you view God is going to determine much of your happiness in this life. If you think, like Jacob did, all this is against me, or you can think like the Apostle Paul did, you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's your choice how you choose to live. But the question Solomon wanted us to look at is, can I find happiness as a person just under the S-U-N? And Solomon is going to guide us through this. God had blessed Solomon with wisdom and discernment. Solomon was probably, in fact, the Bible says it, the wisest man that ever lived, other than, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. But he's the wisest man that ever lived. He had resources mentally that you and I don't have. Solomon studied many, many different things. And we're going to look at six areas of life today that people are still trying to find happiness in that Solomon wrote 3,000 years ago and said, don't look there because you won't find happiness there. So number one, wisdom and knowledge. Our area of wisdom and knowledge, Solomon concluded, true happiness is not found in the knowledge you can gain under the S-U-N. Now, knowledge of the S-O-N, yeah, you can find a lot of happiness there. But Ecclesiastes 1:17, Solomon says, then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned this too, is the chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Solomon decided he was going to study as a man just under the S-U-N to see what he could learn about life and if that would bring him happiness. Solomon put his mind to studying books. He studied, studied, studied. I tell you, Solomon could talk about anything you wanted to talk about. It didn't matter how much knowledge you had in a certain area. If you asked him a question, he had the answer. He knew more about more things than most of us in this room will ever know. He knew about chemistry. He knew about biology. He knew about botany. He knew most everything. But he said all that brought him no joy at all. He hit the books. We have young scholars in high school and college and graduate school, doctor's degree, that are some of the most miserable people you'll ever meet. Why? Because just knowledge of how this world works without a knowledge of God can never bring you happiness. In fact, it'll bring you despair. Because without the knowledge of God, this world is in desperate, desperate shape. In Ecclesiastes 1:18 again, this is what Solomon wrote. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Did you know in America we know more today in our lifetime than this nation ever knew in the lifetimes before? When I was in high school, and I took a little bit of advanced mathematics in high school and took physics, you know what we used to do our problems? We used a slide rule. And people today say, what in the world is a slide rule? It was a little rectangular little thing. You could slide this thing back and forth, and it would put all the different figures together and give you the answer. Today, what do kids have? They have literally a computer in their pocket. Your cell phone today has more knowledge in it than all the books that they had in high school when I was in high school. It's all in your pocket. It's an amazing thing how far we've gone. Some of you remember Star Trek. Remember Kirk and Spock and McCoy and how cool it would be on the starship. They had a little picture thing there and Captain Kirk could talk to anybody and see their face on that computer screen from outer space. And we all thought, wow, wouldn't it be cool to have that? Today we've got that, don't we? I can call somebody down in Mexico, and I can look at their face right on the screen as they're talking to me. Some of you remember Dick Tracy. I was just a boy when Dick Tracy was popular. It's the early 1950s. Dick Tracy used to be able to go to his watch, and he could talk to it, and it would talk back to him. Do you know I can do that today? I've done that. People will call me, and I'm not by my phone, and I'll just hit the button, and I can talk to them right on my phone. It's amazing what's happened in America. But the question is, has that knowledge brought us greater joy? And the truth of the matter is we have more people on medicine for depression than we've ever had. It's a huge, huge industry today. Because with all that knowledge that we have, we are not a happy people. By and large, we know a lot more than we used to know, but we're more miserable than we've ever been before. So Solomon says, this isn't working very good. I'm going to switch gears. Solomon says, all this wisdom, all this knowledge is doing me go good. He says, I'm going to look at pleasure and laughter now. I'm going to just be a crazy guy. I'm going to just have fun. In Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1, I said to myself, come now, I'll test you with pleasure to find out what's good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I said to myself, I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to laugh about everything. I'm going to make up parodies about everything. I'm just going to laugh, laugh, laugh. No matter if my heart's breaking, I'm going to laugh, laugh, laugh. Well, Solomon found out something very important. Laughter didn't get the job done. Because laughter, in Proverbs, in fact, Proverbs was written also by Solomon. In Proverbs 14, verse 13, Solomon said, even in laughter, the heart may ache, and rejoicing may end in grief. Some of you remember the story Billy Graham used to tell. He was talking about depression because even in Billy Graham's day, now he's been gone a few years now, but in his day, depression was growing and growing and growing across our country. And he told a story about a man that was very discouraged, and he went to a psychologist. And he said, can you help me? I need help. I'm so down. I'm so depressed. Life has no meaning for me whatsoever. And the psychologist said to the man, I can help you. He said, I'm going to write you a prescription here, and what it's going to tell you to do is go to the circus. The circus is in town, and the psychologist said, I went to that circus yesterday, and there was the clown in that show. He was just outrageously funny. He said, if you go listen to that clown, he's going to cheer you up like nobody's business. And the man said, sir, you don't understand. And the psychologist, what do you mean? He said, I am that clown. Folks, do you understand some of the funniest people across the time of our nation have been totally depressed the whole time? I want to talk to you just about a couple of those. We were shocked and saddened when Robin Williams took his own life. Robin Williams was a very, very funny man. I used to laugh and laugh and laugh when I'd listen to Robin Williams tell his jokes. He wasn't the only one. In the 1970s, there was a rising star, a comedian named Freddie Prinze Sr. He also took his own life. We laughed at his jokes, but inside he was totally miserable. And then we had other funny people too. John Belushi, anybody remember him? Now, John Belushi didn't take his own life, but he destroyed his life with drugs and alcohol. Same thing with Chris Farley. Chris Farley followed right in the footsteps of John Belushi. Both very funny, very humorous, but inside, they were dying. Folks, it's so important for us to understand. Solomon said, all right, I haven't found it in wisdom and knowledge. I haven't found it in humor, so I'm going to try it in drugs and alcohol. Folks, so many people today in our nation, alcoholism and drug abuse is outrageous across our nation. People are killing themselves today with drugs that they're buying that are laced with all kinds of things that will indeed kill you. You need to be careful. I can remember when I was in the military, this would be back in the 1960s, we'd be going up to Grayling for our summer camp, and all at once a car would come up beside us and throw into the van a big pack of marijuana. And most of the guys lit up. I was not a Christian at the time, but I said, no, I'm not lighting that stuff because I don't know what's in it. You know, you can get high on a little marijuana, but if somebody puts something into that marijuana that you don't know about, it'll kill you. Folks, danger is there. So Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 3. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. So, he says, I decided to fill my body with wine. Now, I don't know how many drugs they had back then, but he had lots of wine. He could have all the wine he wanted. He was looking for happiness, and you can find, indeed, temporary happiness with wine and alcohol and drugs. But it's a happiness that ends with a bitter soul. It's a happiness that'll wind you up in the lake of fire. In the book of Galatians, it lists off a list of number of things that are going to wind up people in the lake of fire. Drunkenness is one of those things. Drunkenness is forbidden in scriptures. Now, I have to say, drinking alcohol is not forbidden. So please believe me, I'm not telling you you can't drink at all. But I will tell you this, and it's what Solomon also wrote in Proverbs 20, verse 1. He said, wine is a mocker and beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Too much wine, too much alcohol. And for some of us, like me, it doesn't take very much. When I was drinking before I became a Christian, 3 beers and I was really out there. 4 or 5 and I was vomiting and doing all kinds of other things. Don't go there with wine, and don't go there with strong drink, and don't go there with drugs. It's a warning from the Lord. It'll wreck and ruin your life. Scripture makes it very clear that too much wine, too much beer, too much whatever is going to wind you up in a lot of trouble. Scripture says, again, Proverbs written by Solomon, Proverbs 23, verse 29. It says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake, and it poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind will imagine confusing things. You'll be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on the top of the rigging. They hit me, you'll say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so I can get another drink? Now, somebody's just beat the stuffings out of you, but all you can think of is the next drink. Why? Because that's what makes me happy. And it will make you happy for a while. F. Scott Fitzgerald was one of those that said this: first you take a drink, then the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes you. Folks, again, I want to tell you, I don't believe the Bible teaches you cannot drink alcohol at all. I don't believe that. But the Bible does warn you severely. If you can't control it, you need to quit. And you need to quit before it gets control of you. Those who never take a drink, that's what I taught my children when they're young. If you never take a drink, you'll never be an alcoholic. If you never take that first puff on a cigarette, you won't get cancer because of smoking. If you never take that first high with drugs, you won't become a drug addict. If you want a good education, go to the rescue mission in Saginaw or Flint or wherever and look at the lives of the people that are there as residents. Ask them, when you started drinking, when you started on your drugs, did you think it was going to control you the way it did? Did you think it was going to destroy your marriage? Did you think it was going to destroy you so you couldn't work anymore? Every one of them will tell you, no, I was just going to have fun. I was going to pursue it without a reference to God. And that's what Solomon did. He started drinking, and he drank more and more and more. And it literally destroyed his life. Folks, it will do the same thing to you. You need to say to yourself, what is the benefit of alcohol? Anybody think of good benefits of alcohol? Now, for years, it was a medication. You could put alcohol on a cut, and it would start the healing process. But now we've got medicines for that. We don't need it for that. When they would do an operation on a person, they would give them a lot of alcohol so they didn't feel the pain. But now we've got medicine for that. We don't need the alcohol. Folks, I can't think of any good benefit of alcohol. Again, I'm not saying it's sin if you drink. But when you compare the lives that are destroyed by it, and I could name you person after person after person that had great potential, that literally destroyed their lives thinking alcohol was the answer to all their trouble. It's not. Neither are drugs. True happiness, Solomon found out next, is not found in the amount of possessions you have. We are a materialistic society. What does that mean? We think the more money, the more things we have, the happier we're going to be. I got to tell you, some of the most miserable people I know have beautiful, big houses. They've got wonderful cars. They've got their own planes. They've got their own boats. But they're totally miserable. Why? Because they're seeking to find in a man under the S-U-N, without having God over it and thanking God for it, They're trying to find happiness in the things that God gave us to richly enjoy, but not to forget Him. So, true happiness is not found in money or possessions. Solomon had to learn it the hard way. I hope you can learn it the easy way. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, people like that are rich today. They have billions, but they're not as rich as Solomon was. Solomon had more than any man on this earth ever had. And Solomon found out that money can't buy happiness. It can get you comfortable. It can set you up. But Solomon had so much, he said in Ecclesiastes 2:8, he said, I amassed silver and gold for myself in the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of a man's heart. He had so much silver, the Bible says, that during his reign, silver was considered worthless because everything was gold. Solomon built the temple and he lined the entire temple with gold. Solomon built his palace and he lined the whole inside with gold. He had gold everywhere. He would bring 666 talents of gold. Believe it or not, that's 49,921 pounds of gold every year into his kingdom. He had gold like you wouldn't believe. And lots of people in this room today, and lots of people maybe listening to this sermon on the internet, really believe if I could just win the lottery, if I could just have a lot of money, I'd have me a happy life. I'd be happy all the rest of my life. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, it says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This, too, is meaningless. They asked J.D. Rockefeller, how much money is enough? And J.D. Rockefeller, who was one of the richest men in the early 19th century, said, just a little bit more. Folks, that's the way money is. It's never going to make you happy. So Time Magazine ran an article, you think winning the lottery, and I know a lot of Christians play the lottery. I never have, and I don't think I ever will, because I know the end of the story, and it's not always happy. People think if I could just have that $1 billion, oh man, would I be happy. In Time Magazine in 2016, they ran an article, and this is what it said. Here's how winning the lottery makes you miserable, it says. So many of the people that win the lottery wind up unhappy or wind up broke. People have had terrible things happen. Don McNay, a financial consultant, said, people commit suicide. People run through their money, easy come, easy go. They go through divorce or people die. Jack Whitaker, he won $350 million lottery pot in West Virginia. And this is what he said. I wish we had torn up the ticket. I wish that we had torn up the ticket. I just don't like being Jack Whitaker anymore. I don't like the hard heart I've got. I don't like what I've become because of all that money. Abraham Shakespeare won a $30 million lottery jackpot. And this is what he said. I'd have been better off broke. Donna McKinnon said this when she won $34.5 million lottery in New York State Lottery in 2007. She said, my life has been hijacked by the lottery. She said, if you had asked me before I won, I would have said I'm a pretty happy person. But she said, now my life has been hijacked, and I'm very unhappy. Isn't that strange? We all think if I just had that better job, if I could just make $20,000 more a year, I'd be all set. Folks, money without a reference to God, money without a thankful heart to God, it's going to make you miserable. It's going to break your relationships and not make your relationships. Money's a wonderful thing. Everybody ought to have plenty. And God has said He's given us richly all things to enjoy, but not to enjoy without Him. That's the problem Solomon had. Ted Turner said, money is like a paper bag. Everyone wants the paper bag. And when you finally get the paper bag and you open it, you find out it's empty. It's empty. He who loves money will never be satisfied with money. 1 Timothy 5:9 says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Solomon had more money than anybody on this earth ever had. And he learned 3,000 years ago that if you want to get rich, it's going to lead you into all kinds of trouble. We don't need to be rich. We need to love the Lord. And when we love the Lord, he's going to make us rich. Maybe not with a big house or a big car, but he's going to bless us. We're going to learn to be content with what we have. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. You brought nothing into this world, how much you taken out? You're not going to take anything out of this world. But if you can be content with what God's given you, and you can be thankful for what he's given you, you can be happy no matter how much that is. We've got a missionary that our church enjoys, Ken McGilvery. He goes down to Haiti. Haiti is the poorest country in the entire Western Hemisphere. That means it's poorer than any other country you can name. But he said the people there that know the Lord are some of the happiest people you'll ever see anywhere. They have houses without doors, without windows, but they're happy. Folks, I want to encourage you, whether you can come back tonight or not, I want to encourage you, live as a person under the S-O-N. Don't live as a person seeking happiness in this world without reference to your Lord, because you won't find it. It's not in the things. It's in the giver of the things who wants us to be happy. Solomon said, God's very hard. He's given us great deals of suffering. Now, God didn't give great deals of suffering. Man's sin brought the suffering. God made mankind in a perfect garden where everything they could ever want was right there before them. All they had to do was enjoy what God had given. But Satan convinced Eve, and Eve convinced Adam, that God was holding out. And so they went to seek it in something God had forbidden. Today, my prayer for you is that you won't seek happiness in this world with something God has forbidden. Beware. Father, we're so thankful that you've given us warnings. Lord, in your word for 6,000 years, it's not in money, it's not in fame, it's not in any of the things of this world. True happiness is found only in a living relationship with you. And then all the things you've given, we can enjoy them. But Lord, we don't dare let those things become our God.